Russia has invaded Ukraine after formally recognizing two regions, Donetsk and Luhansk, of the Donbass as independent states. Tensions have been high ever since Russia annexed Crimea in 2014. After this, Ukraine made it its priority to join NATO. NATO is not the same as the UN. While the UN aims to maintain international peace, at least that's their claim, NATO is a military alliance. It's like a club that says that if any one of us in the club gets attacked, it's as though we are all being attacked and we'll all attack back. It sounds cool, almost Islamic in the sense that it is practical unity. The problem with NATO is its members, namely America, the UK, France, etc. Ukraine joining NATO would mean that it could arm itself heavily, suppress its people, essentially do whatever it likes. And if Russia, its neighbor, dares to intervene, potentially it could be attacked by all NATO 30 member states, including the USA, UK, France, Canada, Turkey, you name it. In other words, Russia considered Ukraine's joining NATO as a serious threat to its own national security. And you may be right to assume that World War III has essentially begun. I mean, just look at the European nations' overwhelming support for Ukraine against Russia. Poland, Czech Republic, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Spain, Belgium, Netherlands, Holland, and Denmark are sending millions in bullets, artillery ammunition, mortars, reconnaissance UAVs, and are ready to provide Stinger anti-aircraft missiles, donating Javelin anti-tank missiles, fuel, and rockets. Spain has mobilized frigates and fighter jets to the Black Sea. NATO itself has also sent military instructors to train Ukrainian troops, and we all know how well that goes. Conservative MPs have called for the UK to increase military aid to Ukraine, ready to guarantee up to $500 million in loans to support Ukraine. Meanwhile, millions of university students like myself are being burdened to pay back student loans. Our families are struggling to pay mortgage and rent like peasants. We have to put up with austerity measures while the government tells us that money doesn't grow on trees. Really? Where did $500 million for some Eastern European country come from then? I want to see some of that. I believe that the UK taxpayers deserve to see some of that, but no. We have to arm Ukraine. Anyway, French President Macron has moved to extend $337 million to aid and military equipment to Ukraine, according to the French daily Le Monde. And of course, America. The United States of America has provided $2.5 billion in military aid to Ukraine since 2014. All of these countries are fueling Ukraine like a fire with which they wish to burn down Russia. Welcome to 2022. So basically, Russia is like a big brown bear. Ukraine is like a black bear. It used to be part of the bear family. The brown bear, being bigger and stronger and seriously concerned for its own security, took over pieces of the black bear's land. America, France, and UK didn't like the brown bear at all. So they talked to the black bear. "Hey, you don't have to take that from him," said America. "Oui, oui, oui, you should be independent and free," said France. "Why don't you become part of our big gang?" said the UK.
"Big gang?"
"Yeah, it's called NATO. If you join NATO, then big bad Russia won't be able to tell you what to do no more." Russia was like, no, I don't think so. But Ukraine, having found new friends, was like,
"I'll do whatever I want."
"He's a dictator."
"You're a dictator."
"He thinks he's bigger than you."
"You think you're bigger than me? You think you're bigger than me?"
Yes, I do." "Don't worry, we'll help you to fight him." And they got all the European countries to give lots of weapons to Ukraine to fight against the big Russian bear. If this was an Aesop's fable, you'd know how it ends. The moral of the story would be something like, "One who trusts his enemies will be bitten by his friends." Now, I'm not saying that Russia is an angel. What I am asking is, why do people so easily trust the known devil, America? On the 1st of March, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, stated, "Truly, America is a mafia regime.
A political mafia, an economic mafia, a weapons industry mafia, the various types and kinds of mafias which have the politics of this country in their grasp and are guiding it. And in reality, the control of the country is in their hands. Behind the governments, they appoint some for the government and they remove some from government positions. It is these mafias that bring the presidents to positions of the US government. And this flock of mafias, this mafia regime, has a dire need throughout the world to bring conflicts into existence. If they are unable to create conflicts, the USA's military-industrial complex would not be able to reach the maximum profits. Inevitably, they must create conflicts in the world in order to maximize the profits of these mafias. Today also, in my opinion, Ukraine is the sacrifice of precisely this politics.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey there.
Hey, nice spot, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's great, especially because of that thing over there. You know what's in there? Corn.
Really? Wow, I could go for some corn.
It is America that has dragged Ukraine to this point. We are against war and destruction wherever it may be in the world. This is our unshaken word. We are not like Westerners who, if a bomb is dropped on the heads of people in a wedding in Afghanistan and the wedding is changed into a funeral, they say it was to stop terrorism. It is not a crime. This is their mentality in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in East Syria. What is America doing? Why did they steal the Syrian oil? Why did they confiscate the national wealth of Afghanistan? Why is it that the crimes committed on a daily basis by the Zionists in West Asia are defended by the West? These are the creation of conflicts. And they do all this in the name of defending human rights. For 8 years, the people of Yemen are being bombed. The Westerners do not condemn this, rather they support it. They support it through speech, propagation, media, and even support it through action. This is what they're like. Having said that, we are supporters for the end of the war in Ukraine, and the war should end. But the cure for every conflict is only possible when the roots of the conflict are properly recognized. The roots of the conflict in Ukraine are the politics of America, the politics of the Westerners. These are the roots of the conflict. These must be recognized. And based on this recognition, judgments and decisions must be made, and if we can do something about it, we should. Note that the Nord Stream pipeline was going to offer competitive access to natural gas, contribute to the European GDP, create jobs and lower gas bills for the people. And now, because of this tremendous conflict, it's all gone to pot, it's all ruined. Furthermore, the horrendous sanctions on Russia are inevitably designed to hurt the people. Everyone is going to suffer because of this. Who benefits? Macron and Boris Johnson are despised by their people. Small to medium businesses are being destroyed while the filthy rich, like Bill Gates and Elon Musk, are enjoying economic boons. Severe economic strains on the people throughout the USA and Europe have led to widespread disarray, disillusionment, and dissatisfaction. Despite all that, these governments are sending billions of dollars, weapons, and aid to Ukraine. Why? Because they care about the people of Ukraine? These American and European governments don't even care about their own people. But without taking that into consideration, simple-minded people are taking to social media, sharing pro-Ukrainian hashtags, bashing Putin and Russia, and taking a clear stance. The same stance as America. Hold on just a minute. Did you know fake footage of a video game was being shared as Ukrainian invasion footage? In fact, the verified Twitter page of the Ukrainian Defense Ministry itself shared video game footage on February 25th, claiming to show a Ukrainian fighter jet shooting down a Russian plane. Even CNN admitted. Cell phone videos from locals have circulated on Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok, but some of the videos alleging to depict the situation on the ground in Ukraine have turned out to be fake. And what's this? A massive explosion due to a Russian airstrike? Nope. It's actually from 2015, and it's from an explosion which took place in China. But that's not going to stop people from sharing, liking, and spreading it, and thereby spreading pro-Ukrainian and anti-Russian sentiments. India Today even reported that an 18-year-old video from the Iraq invasion resurfaced with the claim that it showed the Russian army confronting Ukraine. And look at this! Ukrainians kneeling in prayer in the snow following the current Russian attack? Not quite. It It's actually an image from back in 2014.
So let's be a little more vigilant when we see tear-jerking interviews of Ukrainian refugees having to flee from Russian tyranny.
I'm not saying that there aren't conflicts and there aren't refugees. What I'm saying is this is boo-hoo propaganda. Putin is a criminal. God is on Ukraine's side. Pray for peace. Stop the war. Boo-hoo. Look at all these poor Ukrainian people. Bad, bad Putin.
It's precisely this boo-hoo propaganda which riles up the sentiments of the masses and leads to the formation of violent groups. Watch this.
Hello, yeah, we've come to join the Ukrainian army or whatever they're called.
And if you don't mind asking, how old are you?
I'm 60.
And what's made you want to come here?
They look like they need help.
And you're prepared to go to Ukraine and fight?
Yeah, I can get on the flight tomorrow.
The people of Ukraine are fighting for freedom and democracy, not just for Ukraine, but for the whole of Europe, because that is what President Putin is challenging. And absolutely, if people want to support that struggle, I would support them in doing that.
This is a British official now calling for people across the world to join the armed conflict in Ukraine. Where have we seen this kind of thing before? Oh yeah, Syria. It's the same kind of propaganda which America and Europe used during the Syria conflict. Remember how they convinced the world that President Assad is the bad guy?
Boo-hoo, look at all these poor Syrian people. Bad, bad Assad. We need to support the Free Syrian Army against Assad.
And precisely this boo-hoo propaganda led to terrorists gathering from all across the world to fight against the brutal Assad regime. Everyone fell for it. Pretty much the only ones who didn't fall for it were those who were connected to the resistance axis, to the revolutionary camp, and to Imam Khamenei. These were the ones who saw through the lies of the West and recognized the truth. And now everyone knows that many of the videos and news articles presenting the poor, innocent, suffering people were faked to turn the masses against Assad. In fact, the very real refugee crisis and the real suffering of the people was in part created by precisely the mass hysteria brought on by such Western propaganda, while the overwhelming majority of the people of Syria were actually pro-Assad. And the Free Syrian Army, which was supported, trained, funded, and helped by America, the UK, France, Turkey, and some Arab regimes, and the others, was in fact ISIS, Daesh. Alhamdulillah, the resistance axis fought back. Assad is still in power and the people of Syria are rebuilding their nation. That was before. Now, when we see that the same Western powers are using the same boohoo propaganda to rile up the sentiments of the masses, create mass hysteria, do they really think that the world is going to be fooled again? President Assad has praised Putin's incursion into Ukraine as a correction of history and restoration of balance, which was lost in the world after the breakup of the Soviet Union. Do I trust Assad? Do I trust Putin? The question that should be asked is, do we trust their opponents? Do we trust America and the West? And the answer is, hell no. Why would you trust those who are so insecure about their own lies that they will block entire national news outlets to prevent the truth from spilling out to the masses? Back during the tirade against Iran and against Syria, they blocked Press TV, the Iranian news outlet. Now they're blocking RT, the Russian news outlet. They're basically telling us everything you need to know is right here in the BBC and CNN and Fox News and all the other Western state-controlled, NATO-aligned, independent news channels. They're basically telling us everything you need to know is being shared right here on Facebook and Twitter by those we approve of and don't block. You don't need to search anywhere else. This is what they're telling us. And let me tell you, the American website YouTube, which has become little more than a heavily censored melting pot for pro-Zion ideologies, considers you and me as fools, promoting the most deceptive and cringe-worthy propaganda in the name of comedy. Like this.
I'm no foreign policy expert, but even I can see that virtually no one in the world thinks what Russia is doing right now is a good idea. Usually to see people sit that far away, a guy has to bring a Komodo dragon onto the subway.
Hey, don't worry, everybody. He doesn't bite. Ow! Bad timing, Gary.
It's so funny, isn't it? Ha!
Putin announced the start of his war around 10 p.m. our time last night.
and he had a pretty lame excuse to justify it.
I've taken the decision to conduct a special military operation. Its purpose is to protect people who have been subject to abuse and genocide by the Kyiv regime for 8 years. And to do this, we will strive to demilitarize and denazify Ukraine.
Denazify? That's hard to do when you're acting like the Nazis.
I've lost the ability to laugh. Please kill me. It's so unfunny, it makes you angry. Like, that's the best you could come up with? Like, denazis? I don't know what's more tragic, the seriousness of this conflict or the fact that this passes as comedy in 2022. But of course, this is accompanied by a laugh track. Listen.
That's hard to do when you're acting like the Nazis.
Yeah. Do you really think that's a real audience?
And Vlad, the last thing I want to do is give you management notes, but the way you say things like speak clearly almost guarantees that people won't.
Hooah!
Really? It looks like a very obvious pre-recorded laugh track to me. And the way that Stephen Colbert keeps looking awkwardly to the right and left, to me it seems really obvious. There's no actual audience in front of him. It's just an empty studio. That's why they never show them. They just occasionally cut to this guy, who seems to have been told to just keep smiling and acting as though Stephen is really funny, okay? Media is a game of perceptions. While watching such a show, you might think to yourself, well, there's a whole room of people who are laughing. Maybe it is funny. Maybe I'm the one who's just not getting it. There might be double the number of people who absolutely despise this, but you'll never know because it's hidden and any negative comments are deleted by moderators. By the mere virtue of the fact that such videos exist on the platform with huge view counts, gives off the impression that such a narrative is popular. And they spread ignorance and deception. Like this.
That's hard to do when you're acting like the Nazis. Now, this is obviously a ridiculous claim. First of all, Zelensky's not a Nazi. He's from a Jewish background.
First of all, this statement assumes that one who is a Jew cannot possibly be a Nazi, which is not true. There were plenty of Jews who were Nazi collaborators, funders, and supporters. Like this guy, for example, was a Jew who was appointed to the head of the police and under the direction of the Gestapo, led thousands of men, women, and children to the Treblinka concentration camp. And there's plenty of other examples. Even the LA Times wrote that Brian Rigg interviewed German soldiers of Jewish heritage, some of them high-ranking officers who fought for Adolf Hitler in World War II. The bottom line is the idea that you can either be a Jew or a Nazi, but you can't be both, is wrong. It's a fallacy. So you shouldn't be surprised if you hear things like Israel is arming neo-Nazis in Ukraine. And you just know how bad the situation must be when Zionist media itself starts calling it out. And if you're thinking, but how can Jews kill their own kind? Just look at the Jewish Zionist banking, media industries, and governments of today. Look at how they send their own soldiers to fight and die in futile wars for oil, how they subjugate the masses, and how they commit unspeakable war crimes against humanity. This is the 1% at the top. If it were to their advantage, and they were able to, do you really think that they would hesitate to annihilate their own citizens, regardless of whether they're Christian, Jewish, Muslim, or others? Really? Secondly, this is a typical tactic used by Western mouthpieces. Putin's a Nazi. He's a Nazi. He's a Nazi. She's a Nazi. I'm a Nazi. He's a Nazi. Everybody's a Nazi. I don't even know what a Nazi is anymore. Anyone the West doesn't agree with, he's Hitler and he's a Nazi. And these terms are used interchangeably. Fascist dictator, Hitler, Nazi.
I think that he's a Hitler.
A Russian dictator of...
in the struggle against fascism.
To Nazi sympathizers.
I believe that it's all neo-Nazis.
Unhinged fascist lunatic.
Statements made by such videos rely heavily on the ignorance of the general American Western population. Don't forget, a frightening majority of Americans
probably won't be able to even locate Ukraine on a map, let alone know the definition of Nazism and its history throughout the region. Here's World War II in a nutshell, according to the Western perspective. Nazi Germany killed 6 million Jews and started a war. America bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki and ended it. Woo, America! Westerners generally don't know or care that Soviet Russia had 27 million casualties in World War II and fought exceptionally hard against Nazi Germany. Without this historical background knowledge, one won't understand how it makes total sense from a Russian perspective to have a credible fear and hostility toward Nazism. Nazis are a real, credible enemy for Russians. Meanwhile, Americans, like US Senator Prescott Bush, who just so happens to be the grandfather of President George Bush, were having dealings with the Nazis. And the USA helped the Nazis after the war, too. Thousands of Nazis managed to settle in the United States after World War II, often with the direct assistance of American intelligence officials who saw them as potential spies and informants in the Cold War against the Soviet Union. Here's a bunch of American companies which aided Nazis. Did you know that by 1940, due to the trade embargo of Nazi Germany at the time, Coca-Cola actually changed its name to Fanta and continued to quench the thirst of German Nazis? And this same American company is today aiding the Zionist entity of Israel. You literally could not make this stuff up. According to the New York Times, the German government, hard-pressed for foreign exchange, obtained $25 million to $35 million from the United States before Pearl Harbor through a secret agreement with five American banks. The point is, history is far more complex than they make it appear. The Western powers are using self-invented, fallacious notions to craft a narrative by which they can control the minds of the masses. They rely on our ignorance of historical facts to manipulate our perception of the present. And this is precisely what they are doing with the Ukraine-Russian conflict by throwing around words like Jews and Nazis.
A Russian dictator of
to Nazi sympathizers.
I think that he's a Hitler.
In the struggle against fascism.
I believe that it's all neo-Nazis.
Unhinged fascist.
We have been indoctrinated for years through government-controlled education systems, and Russophobia has been imbued into the minds of the masses through the likes of James Bond movies. Think about it. ISIS terrorists are a genuine threat for Iran and for Muslim nations. But for America, ISIS and terrorists, this is just political jargon. It's just words used by America to excite and incite the masses. Similarly, Nazis are a genuine threat for Russia. For America, on the other hand, Nazism is just an ill-defined concept that they can use to incite and excite the masses. Just like America used ISIS to fight Islam and Iran, America is perfectly happy to fund Nazism to fight Russia. Again, this is not a defense of Russia. This is a wake-up call to the indoctrination machine of the Western powers. It is absolutely vital that we recognize the narrative of the West and don't play into their hands. The golden rule to knowing the truth is never trust America, ever. This is the Ukrainian parliament. Look at the flags they're holding up. The flags of the very corruptive elements of the Western world. Some, unfortunately, will take any opportunity to bash Russia, any chance they get to bash China. But when it comes to America, the great Satan itself, the established enemy of Islam in today's world, they don't have a word to say. Meanwhile, look what Biden said.
Who in the Lord's name does Putin think gives him the right to declare new so-called countries?
Is there anything more hypocritical than that? The Zionist entity of Israel, I mean, what is it? A foreign occupation that was declared as a new so-called country. In fact, even the United States itself, I mean, let's be real. That land belonged to Native Americans. It was then occupied by foreign Europeans who declared a new so-called country in 1776 by the name of the United States of America. At least Russia has a historical claim to their own land. And in fact, Ukraine throughout the 1900s and up until 1991 was a part of Russia.
Yet some people, instead of pointing out the obvious and clear, undeniable hypocrisy of America, jump on their bandwagon and bash Russia. They fall head over heels for the very misleading narrative presented by America and the West. It's like the world is upside down. Alhamdulillah. As revolutionaries, we have basira. We understand that these geopolitical matters are far more complicated than a Google search or article or news flash or video could ever possibly elucidate. And that's why revolutionaries wait and see what the leader, Imam Khamenei, has to say. When he takes a stance, that's when we take a stance. Or at the very least, we need to observe the direction and stance of the distinguished, trustworthy personalities of the axis of resistance. At the onset of this conflict, on January 19, 2022, Iran's President Sayyid Ibrahim Raisi told Putin that NATO expansion is a serious threat to the stability and security of independent countries in different regions. And there's no doubt about that. NATO is dangerous. It is a global armed militia of mercenaries, essentially led by the great Satan, America. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلِبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ
And if there is a country that has committed unspeakable atrocities in the world, it is the United States of America. They don't care. They don't care for the human, for human beings. 57 years ago, when Japan was retreating on all fronts, they decided to drop the atom bomb in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Killed a lot of innocent people who are still suffering from the effects of those bombs. Those bombs were not aimed against the Japanese. They were aimed against Soviet Union to say, look, this is the power that we have. If you dare oppose what we do, this is what is going to happen to you. Because they are so arrogant, they decided to kill innocent people in Japan who are still suffering from that. Who are they now to pretend that they are the policemen of the world?
My leader, how are you?